thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
What happens when you sing loud, when your mic is off back there, and your brother-in-law is singing in front of you, all these amazing people? You can sing as loud as you want. Nobody can hear you when your mic is off, but then you come up to talk later, and it sounds like you swallowed something. So, apologize before we dive in here. So, it is good to see you. It is good to have you here tonight. For those of you that have not been with us for the last several weeks, the first week in June, we started a series, and we are in the Old Testament, and we intentionally called and named the series From Sea to Sea. It's not a typo on your outline. From Sea, speaking about the children of Israel and their confrontation with the Dead Sea. That was an obstacle that seemed impossible to get through, and God, in His wisdom, allowed the children of Israel to pass through on dry land. So we've called this series From Sea to Sea, From Desert to Destiny. And our challenge has been, let's look at the Old Testament. We are studying the New Testament on weekends. And so our challenge for the summer is, let's look at the Old Testament stories. Let's find out what it is that God taught not only then, thousands of years ago, but how is it relevant today? How is what happened 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 years ago, how is it relevant in our lives today? And we're going to tell you how it's relevant today. Pastor John and I are going to tell you that. I often, and you've heard me say this many, many times before, I often approach the scriptures with this statement in mind, whether I say it out loud or whether I say it to myself, and I've trained myself to do this because it's helpful for me. So when I go to the scriptures, I will say to myself, so what, now what? So what, we have a history lesson of a 40-year journey with the group of people that were called the people of God. So what? We have that in the Bible. Now what? Now what? God, why did you preserve this? Why did you capture this in your word for us to learn from? So that's what we are discovering all summer long. Why God put these stories about the children of Israel in the scriptures. I wrote something down on my outline before, as we came out to do worship, because I felt like I wanted to remind us of this. Let's not forget that God's initial desire for the children of Israel to bring them out of Egypt was that so that they could worship Him in freedom. That was His desire, so that they could worship Him in freedom. They were so focused on what was happening in the natural that they often lost sight of what was happening in the supernatural. It is imperative for us as believers to recognize that what we go through in life and what we experience in life is not just what we see in the natural. What's much more important and has far greater ramifications and a greater significance is what is happening in the supernatural. We live in a supernatural dimension as God's people. We know that from the New Testament. So as we dive into the Old Testament, let's make sure that we remind ourselves that part of what God is trying to teach us is that we're living in a world where spiritual things, in other words, things that we don't necessarily see in the natural, matter. And that's what mattered to God with the children of Israel. He wanted them to experience freedom in the natural, but more importantly for God, for them, was freedom in the supernatural. God wants us today to be experiencing supernatural freedom, regardless of circumstance, regardless of situation. So we're going to talk to you primarily about three things tonight. We're going to talk to you, and we're going to look at Exodus chapter 18. We're going to start by let me read these scriptures to you in Exodus chapter 18, verses 13 through 20, because the children of Israel have now passed through the Red Sea. They started crabbing a little bit in the wilderness. Have you ever crabbed to God? Say, yes, I have. Say, yes, I have, like you mean it. Yes, you have. You have crabbed. So have I. Exodus chapter 18, starting in verse 13. So they've crabbed at God, Lord, why didn't you just leave us in the wilderness? The Egyptians were taking care of us. We had better food there. God, we don't have any water. We need water. God, we want meat. Give us quail. All that's happened. Now, Moses is sitting in the place where he's dealing with the situation that the children of Israel were facing day in and day out. And here's what the observation was from his father-in-law, Jethro, starting in verse 13. The next day, Moses took his seat to serve as judge for the people, and he stood around them from morning until evening. Some 2 million people had issues that they needed to talk about, and Moses was the man. Can you imagine that? You've got a line of 2 million people that need to talk to you every day. When his father-in-law saw what Moses was doing for the people, he said, "What you are doing for these people is not good. Why do you sit alone as judge while all these people stand around from morning till evening?" Moses answered him, "Because of the people who come to seek God's will. Whenever they have a dispute, it is brought to me, and I decide between the parties and inform them of God's decrees and his laws." Moses' father-in-law replied, "What you are doing is not good. You and these people who come out will only wear you out. The work is too heavy for you. You cannot handle it alone. Listen now to me, and I will give you some advice, and may God be with you. You must be the people's representative before God and bring their disputes to him. Teach them the decrees and the laws, and then show them the way to live and the duties they are to perform. But," verse 21 says, "select capable men from all the people who fear God, trustworthy men who hate dishonest gain, and appoint them as officials over thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens. Have them serve as judges for the people at all times, but have them bring every difficult case to you. The simple cases they can decide for themselves. That will make your load lighter because they will share it with you." So here's the story. We're going to talk about three things tonight. We're going to talk about learning how to take advice, learning how to delegate, and learning what discipleship is all about. Number one on your outline, and you'll notice on your outline, it says the words "just in the nick of time." You see that under "from sea to sea, desert to destiny." Have you ever felt like God showed up in your life just in the nick of time? Just in the nick of time, you were overwhelmed, circumstances were bombarding you, and then just in the nick of time. This is one of those "just in the nick of time." Moses is sitting down and he's talking to literally thousands and thousands of people every day. What must that have looked like? I'm going to watch the DVD when I get to heaven, but I can't imagine how challenging that must have been. So let's look at this and let's try to get an understanding of what God is trying to say to us thousands of years later about this story in Exodus chapter 18. The first one is this on your outline. Write this in, please. Deliverance will always bring an opportunity for change. This was a huge change for the children of Israel. They were in Egyptian bondage and slavery, and now all of a sudden, they're living in freedom, and they're trying to experience new life, new freedom in their relationship with God, and they needed answers. And they thought the answers were going to come from Moses. So they would line up all day long to sit down and talk with Moses. We need to understand that in this journey with God, from sea to sea, from desert to destiny, there are going to be times when we're going to experience breakthroughs and deliverance. And when those times come, change is all around that. Change surrounds that. And because change surrounds that, we need to understand that it's part of the process. And just in the nick of time, God will show up with his counsel. Here the counsel came from Jethro to Moses. So what can we learn from that? In Psalm 78, verse 22, it's not on your outline, but it's referencing the children of Israel and their journeys out of the wilderness. And here's what the psalmist said. Speaking of the children of Israel, they did not trust God's deliverance. So I want to say to you right as we get started tonight that as you are walking with God through your journeys and through your experiences and literally from desert experiences into destiny and from the seas which seem impassable sometimes in our lives, God is going to show up with a plan for deliverance. And God's going to have a method and a way for us to walk through that and experience that. And if we do it in the natural, we'll miss it. Moses was trying to do this thing in the natural, and as a result of that, he missed it. So we want to talk to you about three things tonight. Pastor John, will you come and share the second one with us?
Thanks, Pastor Blake. The second point, we can learn through the examples of Moses and Jethro the importance of fellowship and listening to the advice of others. I want to first talk about fellowship tonight. Exodus 18:12, from the NIV, talks about fellowship. And it said, then Jethro, Moses' father-in-law, took a burnt offering and sacrifices to God. Aaron and all the elders of Israel came out and joined him in a sacrificial meal in God's presence. What a great meal that must have been. What a great time of fellowship we had with Jethro there, Moses' father-in-law, as well as Aaron and the elders of Israel. It must have been a great time. The meal then was taken from the burnt offering and was dedicated to the Lord and eaten ceremonially as a type of fellowship dinner. I was thinking about that, and you know, meals are a great way to fellowship with others. Don't you agree? You know, now that my wife and I, Cindy, have a new grandson, Judah Michael, meals with him and his mom and dad, Ariel and Zach, are very important because we get to see our grandson a little often, a little more and a little long period of time. So that time of fellowship is just so great. If you want to get to know people better, invite them over to your home for a meal. You know, we get so busy with the hustle and bustle of everyday living that we forget the simple things of life. And you know, that really is simple, isn't it? Just taking the time to invite someone over for a meal. So here's your assignment this evening, if you choose to accept it. So in the next week or so, commit to invite a family, a couple, or maybe an individual, whoever the Lord places in your heart right now. Got that person in mind? That's a person that you need to invite over to your home. I already had that family in mind, even before I was putting this together. And that's what I'm going to plan to do. So whoever that family, couple, or person is, a neighbor perhaps, or maybe it's a member of the church here that you want to get to know better. So if you're serious inviting someone over to your home, commit right now to write that name down in the spaces provided to you on the notes, okay? And of course, be sure that you invite that person over for a fellowship meal. So fellowship is the first thing. The second one I talk to you tonight about is listening to the advice of others. Jethro is speaking to Moses in Exodus 18, 19, and 24, and it says, now listen to me, and let me give you words of advice, and may God be with you. You should continue to be the people's representative before God, bringing their disputes to him. And verse 24 says, so Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice and followed his suggestions. Isn't that great? Moses listened to his father-in-law's advice. And what did he do? He took it to heart. He followed his suggestion. He implemented the plan. Moses chose to listen to his father-in-law rather to reject it. You know, I hope tonight that passage convicts you as it does me. Because there are times in my life, and I'm thinking that you're probably the same as me, I hear good advice from people, and what do? I reject it. I don't take the time sometimes to listen to them, and I just reject it. Well, how do you react when someone says that they have some advice for you to hear? Do you delight in it, or does it intimidate you? Do you immediately listen to that advice like Moses did? Or do you immediately turn them off? And I was thinking of Samson. Samson was probably one that, you know, his parents tried to give him advice, and what did he do? He pretty much rejected it. You know, it's probably advice that you need from either a family member or a friend just in the nick of time and in order to prevent you from certain failure or even a disaster. Can you all relate to what I'm saying tonight? Who is your Jethro? Who do you need to be a Jethro for? You know, if you're like me, then I sometimes hear good advice and I don't implement it. I don't take it to heart. Well, the good news is, and there's good news, is that I'm improving. And I hope that you are too. Just in the last few weeks, I was as I was putting this message together, the Holy Spirit was really convicting me of how I ignore good sound advice. There was a person in the office and who had a great idea for how I should approach this particular couple. Well, I listened. I listened. In the past, I might have just kind of poo-pooed it off and just, but this time I listened to it, and it was great advice. I took the advice, and it helped me a lot in being able to talk to these people. What good advice have you heeded? What good advice have you rejected? And why did you reject it? Did you reject it because it wasn't your idea to begin with? You know, obviously there's a problem there if you're rejecting an idea just because it's not your own idea. If someone gives you an idea and you think it's a good one, implement it. But there's a process that takes place to really go through. And so I want to give you just two simple steps of taking advice. The first one, the first bullet point there is receive what the person is saying to you. And really what that receive is that you're really going to listen to that person. You're going to give them your attention, and you're really going to really receive that, what they're going to say. The second one is ask. Ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom and discernment. And what that really means is asking the Holy Spirit to give you the wisdom and the discernment that you're going to need to assess whether the advice is good or bad, whether it's godly or ungodly, where it's helpful or harmful. James 1:19, this is a great verse. It said, "My dear brothers, take note of this. Everyone," so underline everyone, because that means everyone, which means all of us here, we're an everyone. "Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry." Sometimes just one piece of advice can make a huge difference in your life. And I received that advice some 27 years ago. And that really was a huge change in my life. And that advice, I feel, came just at the nick of time. Unlike Moses, though, I received a life-changing piece of advice from my mother-in-law, not my father-in-law. Well, I have to tell you this, and I'm going to be really honest about it. I don't always share this with people, but I'm going to because I really feel like the Lord wanted me to do this. So I had smoked cigarettes and cigars since I was a junior in high school. I'm not proud of it, but I felt that the Lord, through the power of the Holy Spirit, wanted me to say that. So my smoking kind of began in a high school play called The Odd Couple. And some of you might remember that play, The Odd Couple. Well, I played, yeah, you'll guess it, Murray the Cop, because, well, he was short and round, and that's just how they theater cast people, right? So that was me. So part of the acting required us to smoke cigars around this table, pretending to play cards. Well, one thing led to another, and I was hooked on smoking. We practiced, during the practices, we smoked a cigar, and then at the play itself, and so, well, you know what happened. But here's the advice that I received from my mother-in-law. Again, it was that just in the nick of time advice to me was in three simple words, and those simple words were, "Don't stop stopping. Don't stop stopping." Well, translated, it means don't stop stopping to stop. And she knew, my mother-in-law knew that I smoked. She did too. And she had that same philosophy of don't stop stopping to stop. Well, the long and short of it is, over a period of time, I didn't stop stopping. There are times when I would smoke, and then I'd stop. And then I'd start. And then I'd stop. And you know the pattern, starting, stopping. But I didn't stop stopping. And that's what she told me to do, and I took that advice. You know, a lot of son-in-laws don't listen to their mother-in-laws, right? But I did. And that made a great difference. Because I believe that the Lord really took that desire away from me to not smoke and to stop smoking and to start and to continue stopping to smoke. So I'm going to pass that information, that advice to you all here tonight. don't stop stopping. So perhaps you're here tonight and you need to stop smoking. Well, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I don't want to know it. Just don't stop stopping to stop. Well, maybe you have an alcohol problem. Let's just be frank about it. Maybe you have an alcohol problem and you need to stop. Here's my mother-in-law's advice. Don't stop stopping. It's that same advice that Jethro gave to Moses. Listen to me. You know, maybe you indulge in unlawful prescription drugs or just drugs in general, and you need to stop. Don't stop stopping to stop. Here's one that's close to my heart, close to me, is maybe you eat too much. You know, unfortunately, I'm in that category, and please know that I take it very seriously, that my habit of eating too much. I need to follow the proper ways of eating, which simply is to eat when I'm hungry and stop when I'm full. And yet I don't. But yet I still follow my mother-in-law's advice, don't stop stopping. I continue to ask the Lord to take away that desire. And I'm not going to stop asking until that desire is away. Pastor Blake?
I'm trying to get that visual out of my mind of you smoking cigars. So it's almost gone. It's almost gone. You know, the things we're talking about are not necessarily easy. It's not easy to take advice. I mean, you think about Moses taking advice from Jethro. He could have said to Jethro, hey, I'm the one. I'm the one that God has called. I'm the one that God raised up to lead these people, not you. There are times in our lives when we will be surprised at how God brings advice. We need to be open. We need to be teachable. You know, God accomplishes His will on planet Earth through His people, and He can only do that when we're obedient to Him. And so one of the strategies after you've taken advice is that you have to learn to delegate. And I want you to write this in, delegation, when we learn the art of delegation, that's really what Jethro was trying to teach Moses. When we learn the art of delegation, it really does provide a freedom for living. So although on one hand people are thinking, well, Moses should really be doing this, he's the man that should be doing that, the art of delegation teaches us to be able to say yes to the right things and no to the wrong things. And we have to learn how to do that. There are things in our lives right now that we're probably doing that we need to learn to delegate. I spent last week with 39 young people across the street at YWAM. And I started out the very first day, and I say this every single time I teach at YWAM. And I say it to every single kid that I get an opportunity. When I say kid, I'm talking 18 to 25, 26 years old. Do you know that God has called you? This is what I say to them. Do you know that God has called you to be world changers and kingdom shapers? That is an absolute fact of life. God accomplishes His will on planet Earth through people who yield themselves to His plan. God had a plan for Moses, and if Moses did not learn to delegate certain things, Moses was going to settle for less than God's best. So we need to, when we're journeying from sea to sea, from desert to destiny, we need to learn the art of delegation, and it really is an art. It's not an easy thing to do, because a lot of times what we do, we associate what we do with our worth and our value. And somehow we assign to our thinking that if I let go of something, I'm not as important. Or if I let go of something, I'm not as valuable. That is absolutely not true. And the enemy can take that thought and he can twist it and he can manipulate it just like that if we're not careful. So how well are you doing with delegating? Are we open to the Lord? Are we open to the Holy Spirit when He comes and tells us that we need to learn to start delegating? How do we delegate things in our lives? And what happens when we learn to delegate things in our lives? It helps us to properly evaluate our priorities. Write that in on your outline. When we learn the art of delegation, it helps us to evaluate our priorities. Moses' priorities were wrong. He was doing good things. He was sitting down and he was talking to people every day, helping counsel them through their challenges. But God had another strategy. Not only did Moses need to do that for himself, he needed to do that for other people. Sometimes we need to look at it that way. It's not just about what we need to release for us. There are things that we're doing that God wants others to do. And unless I release those things and learn the art of delegation, I am going to rob myself and others of a blessing. And that's what Moses was doing. That's why he needed to learn to take advice from Jethro, his father-in-law. He needed to be open, and through the context of that fellowship that he had with his father-in-law, he was open to that. Failure to delegate is unwise and unhealthy. It is unwise and unhealthy. I have to learn that. It's not an easy thing to do, because I said it a minute ago, so often our identity is tied to what we do and don't do. What would it look like to release something? What would it look like in your life to be able to release something? Could it be that you're stuck at the sea, you're stuck in the desert because God is trying to tell you to release something? Delegate this. I want somebody else to take ownership of this. It's not an excuse for us to be lazy. It's not an excuse for us to do nothing. Moses had plenty to do, and he had a lot of responsibilities, but God wanted him to shift those. Let me read something to you from the New Testament in Acts chapter 6, verses 2 through 7. It's important that we look at this because in the context of where I'm going to read this, we're talking about the early church. The church had exploded. The church was taking off. It was growing. People were becoming overwhelmed with responsibilities, things that they were having to do. So here's the word of the Lord, starting in Acts chapter 6, verse 2. So the 12 called a meeting of all the believers. So they're gathering people together, all the believers, the new people, the new church. They said, we apostles should spend our time teaching the word of God, not running a food program. And so, brothers, select 7 men who are well-respected and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. We will give them this responsibility. Then we apostles can spend our time in prayer and teaching the word. Everyone liked the idea, and they chose the following people, and they named the people. These 7 were presented to the apostles, who prayed for them, and as they laid their hands on them, they went out with God's message, and it continued to spread. The number of believers greatly increased in Jerusalem, and many of the Jewish priests were converted too. So this revelation comes to the apostles. God had called them to give themselves to the preaching and the teaching of the word. They were spreading themselves too thin. Now, don't read in here and don't hear me saying that it's more important to teach the Bible than it is to serve people. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we have to understand which it is that God is calling us to do. And when we find out what it is that God is calling us to do, to give ourselves fully to that. In other words, what we need to try to identify in our lives is our bullseye. What's your bullseye? What's your sweet spot for serving? What is it that God has gifted you to do? I am still discovering in 30 years of walking with the Lord what that bullseye is and what that sweet spot is. And if I don't learn to delegate, I'll never be able to find that sweet spot because there's always more to do. So what does that mean? It means we need to narrow our focus. We need to narrow our focus. We need to start delegating things, start narrowing our focus and saying, okay, God, this is what it is that you've called me to do. That's what Moses heard from Jethro. Okay, Moses, this is what you need to do. You need to release people to lead thousands, hundreds, fifties, and tens, and you need to do these things. It's not on your outline, but I want to read this statement to you. You weaken your potential when you invest too much time in yourself or in areas where you have the least potential. Let me say it again. You weaken potential when you invest too much time or self in areas where you have the least potential. So we have to be careful that we don't mistake activity for accomplishment. Moses was active every single day. Can you imagine? Every single day he sat and he listened and he was doing a good thing. But he was mistaking activity for what God wanted him to accomplish. I'm confident that when we really seek the Lord and we learn how to acknowledge limitations in our own life, how well do you do with that? How well are you able to acknowledge limitations? And because of that limitation, you have the freedom and the confidence to release or delegate something to someone else. Because really, God's plan for the children of Israel was that they went together. Moses wasn't going by himself. They were all going together. We are all going together. They journeyed for 40 years. We're going to journey for 40, 50, 70, 90, however long we're going to journey until we go to be with Jesus in eternity. But in the meantime, let's learn the art of delegation.
The art of delegation. Pastor Blake is excellent at it. By the way, I worked for Pastor Blake, as well as some of the other pastors. And I was thinking about it as he was speaking. And his ability to delegate allows him to do so much more for the kingdom of God. Allowing him to delegate just gives him the opportunity to teach at YWAM, as well as presenting and teaching on Wednesday and it's Sunday Sundays this summer. So Blake's great at delegating and a great boss too. So be sure you let him know that. I think he is, and I know that many others who work for him would agree with that too. Point number four, and no, I'm not really brown-nosing. Maybe just a little. Point number four is discipleship provides the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. Discipleship. Exodus 18, 20 through 21, and it reads, "Teach them God's decrees and give them his instructions. Show them how to conduct their lives, but select from all of the people capable, honest men who fear God and hate bribes. Appoint them as leaders over groups of 1,000, 100, 50, and 10. Moses was the only one to know the word of God, so he was the only one that was able to settle disputes among the children of Israel. Why? Because Moses failed to teach the word of God to the people. And yet we see that, again, Jethro came just in the nick of time to challenge Moses' thinking. For Moses to be an effective leader and a minister to the people, he would have to teach the word of God not only to the judges who would hear the disputes, but then to the rest of the people who are going to be disputing Moses. Well, in today's vernacular, Jethro was really telling Moses that he needed to start discipling those God would show him to be future judges. Matthew 9, 35 through 38, in the New Living Translation says, Jesus traveled through all the cities and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And wherever he went, he healed people of every sort of disease and illness. He felt great pity for the crowds that came because their problems were so great and they didn't know where to go for help. They were like sheep without a shepherd. He said to the disciples, "The harvest is so great, but the workers are so few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send out more workers in the field." That's us. We're the workers in the fields. You know, I had the great fortune of being discipled by a godly man when I was a relatively new Christian. This man took me through what was supposed to be 12 weeks of one-to-one discipling. Well, it took us actually 6 months to go through it because he expounded on every lesson that we did together. And oh man, did I learn a lot. You know, I believe that the future of the church really rests on those who are willing to disciple our fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. And we need to. We need to do that. Are you discipling someone right now? And all it is a matter of going through it and meeting with a person, taking them through maybe a book of the Bible or maybe through some program. I don't know what it is. But if you are, I commend you for your efforts. Keep doing it. And when you've completed that assignment of discipling, find somebody else to disciple. I recently started discipling a man that's pretty close to my same age. And we're going through the book of John. We're going through a program that actually was developed here at Faith Bible Chapel. And it's been great to go with him. He reads a chapter a day, and we meet once a week, and then we talk about exactly what it is that we've read for that week. really simple. You know, I could have easily said, though, that, you know, I really don't have time to do this. But I really feel like the Lord just really led this person to me just prior to actually this message about what we're talking about tonight. Yet the fact remains, though, that when I regularly disciple people, and I did that several years ago, what I was finding is that I was growing even more in my faith and trust in the Lord. And you know, when you disciple someone, that's the same way. That's what happens too. You end up learning more than they actually learn. So when I'm talking tonight about the subject of discipling, and if you feel the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit revealing to you that there's a name of a person that he would like for you to disciple, I ask you, just go ahead and write that name down on your notes. Perhaps it's a man, a woman, a couple that the Lord has prompted for you to think about discipling. I really want to challenge you to begin discipling someone. And I always recommend it's man with a man, woman with a woman, or a couple with a couple. And there's plenty of material available for us to take people through. Of course, you can choose the book of a Bible, say the Gospel of John. What a great way to begin, where you would read one chapter every day, and then you meet with that person once a week and discuss what you've read. There's also other program, and I just happen to have here, I brought tonight, something from the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, and it's called The Pathway to Christian Maturity. In this book are 30 discipleship lessons, exercises. So I want to share. The first seven of them are really talking about the basics of Christianity. And you know, there's many people that don't really have down the basics of their faith. So here's some of them. Salvation, assurance of salvation, lordship, the Bible, prayer, the Holy Spirit's indwelling, and witnessing. And those really are seven of the core things of beginning in the life as a Christian. And then there's more, 23 more of them. Now, I'm not going to read all of them, but it talks about the person and work of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, victory, God's forgiveness, discipline, self-denial, generosity, our hearts, our tongues, and there's many more. So if you have a question about discipling, some good materials, I really encourage you, give me a call to the church office, would you? I'd love to point you in the direction of some materials that are available. And perhaps the Lord has laid a person on your heart right now and in your mind that you'd like to begin discipling. I've got the material to give to you. So I'm going to ask Rod to come up, and we're going to go ahead and close. As we're closing tonight, Exodus 18. What a great book of the Bible. Exodus 18 is all about Jethro speaking to Moses just in the nick of time, because the Lord had special tasks for Moses to carry out. You know, up until chapter 18, the Lord used Moses to lead the Israelites out of the land of Israel, as well as to journey to the Sinai region, as well as instituting the whole Passover celebration. You know, if that was all the Lord had for Moses to complete, that would have been a huge accomplishment for Moses. And he could have retired from leadership as a hero in his own right. Yet the Lord had even greater tasks for Moses to complete. God allowed Jethro to revamp Moses' whole philosophy of leadership in Exodus 18. And so beginning in Exodus 19 and continuing through to the end of Exodus 40, God would use Moses to establish the law, provide for the construction and use of the tabernacle, and develop the priesthood. Huge job, important task that Moses had this assignment to complete. Had it not been for the Lord to use Jethro just in the nick of time, perhaps Moses might have even burned out from sheer exhaustion, wandered away in the desert, and never to return again. But Jethro spoke to Moses, and Moses listened to Jethro, and it resulted many things for God's glory and honor. I'm going to ask our prayer team to come up tonight, our elders and those who are going to be praying, to come on up right now. As they're coming up, you heard from Pastor Blake tonight that he talked about deliverance, and he said deliverance provides opportunity for change. You heard me talking about the importance of fellowship and listening to the advice of others. Pastor Blake just spoke that about delegation, and delegation provides freedom for the living. And I mentioned how discipleship provides for the greatest opportunity for spiritual growth. What is the Lord tonight asking you to do? What is the Lord, through the power of that Holy Spirit, speaking to you tonight? What areas of your life need to change the most? What advice do you need to listen and heed? What do you need to delegate so that you truly have that freedom to live? How do you need to spiritually grow in your faith and trust the Lord? Pastor Blake and I talked about this, and we sense that even tonight, there's people that are here that need to have a more consistent morning or evening time of prayer, a personal Bible reading, and meditation. I've always said to people that it's not how long you read the Bible or pray, but it's the consistency. That's what counts. Doing it every day. Pastor Blake and I sense that even some people tonight need to be involved in a community group. What a great opportunity that is to fellowship with each other and to grow through Bible study. There may be some here tonight that need to be involved in some kind of ministry here at Faith Bible Chapel. There's plenty of them to choose from. Pastor Blake has the welcoming and usher ministry. I have the nursing home ministry, and there's also prison ministry. Oh, there's just, the list goes on to the number of ministries that are available. Perhaps tonight you need to drop over to the prayer chapel to spend some quality time. Maybe not tonight, but maybe sometime soon. You need just to spend some time in prayer. And we sense that even tonight there may be some folks that need to come over to the Monday night healing room for some intense prayer. Of course, our folks are going to be here tonight. If you have a particular need, a health need, come down for prayer. And you know, some of you tonight may need to participate in the Saturday evening Celebrate Recovery program. You know, there's a reason why you're here tonight. There's a reason why chapter 18 is there of Exodus. We learn from the Word, don't we? And we learn on how the power of the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and it changes our lives. I want to pray.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.